Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be here with you again. Randy was asking me when I was here last, and for those of you who weren't here, it was in November of last year. It was just before your pastor Roger was due to come, and it was an opportunity to be back with you again, and I appreciate that very much. I'm kind of like Jack there. This sermon this morning takes me back to when I started going to Sunday school and church, and that was when these kids' age. And it's a story that I've always liked, and I hope that I can do it justice this morning. But first, let us read the scripture. And it is a long scripture, but I hope you'll bear with me. This is all of chapter 3 in Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 90 feet wide and 9 feet wide and set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship all will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. O king, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so that these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me take a breath here a minute. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing fire and shouted out to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around him. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses are burned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's have a short prayer before we start. Dear God, we thank you for this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just pray, dear Lord, that you will open our minds to this story, and we pray that it will be meaningful to us at all times in our lives. We ask this in your name, and amen. Like I say, I heard this story many, many years ago, and it's always been one of my favorites, and I hope that it's one of yours too, and maybe I can give it a little different spin, who knows. But before we start, I think it's important that we realize that the story really starts long before King Nebuchadnezzar. And that started really when Moses brought the Jewish people out of Egypt after being captured by the Egyptians. And this was about the year 1300 BC. And when God brought them out of Egypt, he made a special covenant with them. And he promised to be their God and to bless them. But there was a condition. And that condition was that they were to obey him by keeping his laws, offering sacrifices as he required, and letting the land lay fallow every seventh year. And the Hebrews agreed to do this, but they soon forgot their promises to God. They soon abandoned his ways and their God. Over the years, they were turned toward a life of wickedness, so that by the time Daniel came around, only a few people were keeping God's commandments. We find that chapter 1 of Daniel opens around 605 BC. So almost 700 years later, we are to the point where The Jewish people are no longer following their God. In 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon moved into Israel, captured the city of Jerusalem, and moved all of those captives to the city of Babylon. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were probably about 13 or 14 years old at that time. But King Nebuchadnezzar did them a favor, in all honesty. He was a king that believed wholeheartedly in education. So he took those four Jewish young men and sent them to a school, but he for additional training, but that training was to be in the language and the literature of the Babylonians. And it is believed that when we get to chapter 2, that this probably took place when these young men had a few years of schooling. By the time chapter 2 rolls around, they're probably 18 or 19 years of age. And all of this leads the experts to believe then that the events of chapter 3, which we're studying today, occurred around the year 585 BC, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in their early 30s. So that's where we're going to start our story today, with these young men being about 30 years old. But to understand the story, we have to go back to chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that nobody in his organization could decipher. And to understand that, what happened was he dreamed that of a statue. The head was gold, the breast and arms were of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, and the feet and toes of iron mixed with clay. Well, like I say, none of his people could decipher that dream. So there came Daniel. Daniel interpreted the dream for him. And what happened, the dream said that the kingdom of Babylon was the head of gold. The silver, which is a less glorious but stronger metal, was represented by the Medes and Persians. That followed the Nebuchadnezzar. Then brass came, and this is still a glorious but stronger, and that was considered the Greeks. The iron, the strongest but basest kingdom of all, was Rome. And then the last one, the rock that was cut out without hands, representing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would come and strike down the world's kingdoms, destroy them, and grow to fill the entire earth. So Nebuchadnezzar, in all of this time, is still dreaming about that dream. So he decides that if he makes a gold image and sets it up for everybody to worship, that his kingdom will never be dissolved. So that's where we're at in this story. But what King Nebuchadnezzar forgot was, and what he was trying to say was, I will not allow the God of Daniel to set my kingdom aside. He said, my kingdom will always endure, and it will never be replaced. We do not read about Daniel in chapter 3, so it leads most experts to believe that he was somewhere else during this time, someplace else in the Babylonian empire. So Nebuchadnezzar set up this image of gold in the plain of Dura, which is just southeast of Babylon. The statue stood, as we read, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's pretty big. And if you set it in an open space where it's open for miles and miles and miles, most people would be able to see it. So then he called a meeting, and I'm going to simplify that a little bit. I'm going to call a meeting of all my government officials and ask them to come to this dedication service. I get the impression, and I could be wrong, but I get the impression that this first meeting was just his officials. And I'm thinking that he probably told his officials, you go back and tell your people that this is what's going to happen. When they hear music, they're supposed to fall down on their knees and worship my image. So I've never found out exactly how the timing goes, but that's my thought. So all of these people went back and told about their people, about what they had to do. So I don't know how long it would have been until maybe the music first started to play. But when it did, we know that he expected all people, no matter where, that heard that music to fall down and worship that gold image. And his decree was that if they did not, that they would be burned in a fiery furnace. And I've got a feeling, knowing Nebuchadnezzar, or reading about him, that the furnace was already set up so that they could see what was going to happen to them. So when that music sounded, they hit the floor and they started worshiping. But we also know in the story that some of his people were already watching Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think they already knew in their mind that they'd never fall down and worship that idol. But they were watching just in case. And of course, they saw that they didn't. So they had to go to the king and tell him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not following his orders. In this case, they told him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not pay due respect to the king. They do not serve the king's god, and they did not worship the gold image that the king had set up. So King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he sent for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I get the impression, as you read, that he must have liked these young men. Because if you notice in verse 4, he comes back and he says, is it true? He's asking them a question. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? He was waiting for an answer from them. I don't know if he didn't believe his astrologers or whether Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the years had been doing a good job for him, so he really wanted to know the truth. So he personally, I think, gave them a second chance. He said, even though you haven't, if you hear the music and bow down before my image, then you will not die in the fiery furnace. But to me, this is where the story really gets interesting. Because now we have three young men who didn't take any time to think over the question. In verses 16 through 18, Abednego seems to have responded at once with the words, "We have no need to answer you in this matter." Their minds were already made up. There are three great things that I think gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the strength to stand firm in this great test. First, they knew their God was sovereign in verse 16. Here is faith in the furnace. It's a firm conviction of the sovereignty of God in all things. Because God is sovereign, it was not foolish, but wise for them to entrust their lives to Him in this matter. They knew, number two, they knew the scriptures, which is why they refused to bow. God had forbidden it. But many times issues to us are so ambiguous that they're not very clear. It seems to free us to do what we want to do, yet we are not clear where the scripture stands for us. This is why we must study and grow in our knowledge of the scriptures. Number three, they were willing to die for their convictions. It is unlikely that any of us will ever face the trials that they did. We won't have to make a choice, probably, between compromise and execution. But the issue still remains for us that there is a penalty if we do not follow God. Many fail because they will not pay the price of losing popularity or ridicule or economic hardship. Only those who are willing to pay the price really make a difference. So Nebuchadnezzar was so angry with their answer that he called some of his mighty men from the army to bound them and throw them into the fiery furnace. Now, when you're the age of these children up here, you probably think that furnace is like when you go downstairs in the basement to your furnace, if it's still down in the basement like mine was when I was a kid, where we had to throw coal in it. But that's not quite big enough. What I've read is that these furnaces that they had were pretty tall. They were very round at the bottom. They got a little narrower at the top. And there were steps that led up to the opening in the top. And that's how they fed the captives in the furnace. But there was an opening in the side, a large opening in the side, where you could see in, where you could feed the furnace and stoke it and make sure it keeps going. So that's the kind of furnace we're talking about. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are tied up. They're being led up these steps. And they get to the top. And the opening is there. And I think just from the hands on them from their captives, they're able to fall into the furnace. But the furnace is so hot that it kills the ones who have taken them up there. Well, I'm sure that astonished King Nebuchadnezzar a little bit. But even more astonishing was when he looked in the opening and saw not just three men walking, but a fourth. And he calls to his astrologers and says, did we not only throw three men in the fire? And they said, yes. But King Nebuchadnezzar did see that fourth one. And we can probably imagine this morning as we talk about this, who that fourth one was. I'm taking it, it was Jesus reincarnate. He was visiting that day for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he saw that fourth man, he said, it looks like the son of a god. So he asked Shadrach when he went to the opening in the furnace. He asked Shadrach Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out. Come out of there, he said. And as they came out, not only King Nebuchadnezzar, but all of his people saw that their bodies were not burned. None of their hair was singed. None of their robes were scorched. And guess what? There was not even a smell on their clothing. What a wonderful God protected them that day. So in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden changes his tune. And this is what he says. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the king of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. This is a miracle that changed dramatically that day. Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful leader of a one-world government, but he quickly accepted defeat and began to praise God. He was somewhat confused by not knowing the difference between the Most High God, one like the son of a god, or an angel. But he still knew that day he saw a heavenly vision. He acknowledged the great faith and faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their trust in God, and their courage to stand firm and be faithful in the face of death. This, I think, shows the importance of taking a stand for God. These young men went there to this dedication service with no idea that they would have to take a stand for God or be thrown into a fiery furnace. They didn't have a clue about how many people would learn about their story over 2,500 years later. But that didn't matter. What mattered was they were still true to God. Yes, some people do pay for their faith by dying. But in other cases, God spares his servants, as he spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we read in chapter 3. And it still strikes me a little funny as we finish that Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal, thinking that he needed that much more heat to burn up God's people. But it shows the foolishness of those outside of God. It shows that God goes with his people in all their trials. So let us be confident in God's presence and refuse to compromise before the golden statues of our godless culture. Amen.